Durbin at first, Warren at second, the 2-1. Line deep into left field. That one is long gone. Rain Wilson with a three-run bomb between the press box at the football field and the softball scoreboard. And the Raiders take a 3-0 lead. And, of course, Casey, a threat to jack one out of the park at any time as well. First pitch, fly ball, well hit, left center field. Guess going back to the track, to the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Casey Barrett with a three-run homer. Make it 6-0, Atlee. McDowell is pretty quick when it comes to her delivery, time between pitches. She doesn't waste much time. Being a little more careful here with Barrett. 2-2 pitch. Line down the left field line. It's deep. It's deep. And it's off the softball scoreboard and gone. Casey Barrett's second home run of the state tournament. And the Raiders of Atlee lead 1-0. Helmer back into the batter's box. A double play here wins the championship. The pitch. Ground ball off of St. George's glove. Flipped to second, to one, to first, and a double play. And it did. It did end in a double play. It's over. The 4-6-3 double play creates the dog pile, and it's back-to-back for the Atlee Raiders. The defense wraps it up. 5-0 the final, and the Raiders are again 5A state champions. Well, it's hard to believe. I mean, it's really, really hard to believe. But the 2015-16 high school sports season in the RBA has come to a close. It went by in an instant. But what a great finish this past weekend, and we're going to wrap it up and talk about it right here on Central Region Now. How are you, my friends? Rob Witham along with you. Thanks so much for being with us for the wrap-up edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RBA Sports Network as we take a look back at state championship week across all of spring sports and across the Commonwealth, too. We had teams playing in Salem, at Radford University, at Lynchburg, at Liberty University, and, of course, up in Fairfax County, at both Robinson Secondary School, Lake Braddock Secondary School, and tennis players down at Huntington Park in Newport News. So from Newport News to Radford, I don't know, how far of a drive would it be for Newport News to Radford if you're going across the state, like maybe on 58? And that could be like 4.5 hours. We had action going on everywhere involving so many different Central Region teams, and we'll talk a little bit about everything that happened here on the podcast. We first want to start, though, with our thoughts, our prayers, our condolences to the families who are suffering unimaginable pain and horror right now in and around Orlando. An absolutely senseless, needless atrocity that happened there overnight Saturday night. I will admit, excuse me, after getting home finally Saturday night from Fairfax, I decided to sleep in on Sunday to try to catch up on some rest, and my wife went down to Farmville with her sister to visit her mom. My daughter was working, and I got some extra sleep, and I got up sometime in the 12 o'clock hour, and I found the remote and turned on the television and immediately saw a special report on one of the major networks. And, you know, that doesn't happen as often as it used to when, say, I was a kid and there were no cable news networks, no CNN and the like. And I wondered what was happening, and then saw the headline, of course, come across the bottom of the screen. And it makes no sense, friends. It makes no sense. Now, you know, here we don't talk politics and things like that. Those are areas that we just stay away from because we're about sports. But I think we can all agree that there's Absolutely. No rhyme or reason to what happened. There's no reason for someone to hate someone. Certainly not that much, and certainly not at all. Some of us serve God, some of us don't believe in God, and some of us aren't so sure about it, but one thing we can all agree on is that love should win the day. No matter who we are, what our similarities are, what our differences are, what our backgrounds are, who cares? It's one of the things that I love about covering high school sports, small college sports, big college sports too here in the Richmond area, is that you see so many people from so many different walks of life come together. And they come together for one goal, one purpose, be it their soccer team, be it their football team, be it their field hockey team, be it their gymnastics team, whatever the case may be. You see so many different people that maybe would never have crossed paths if it not been for the sport that they together have a passion for and a love for. And I wish we would use more things like that to draw more people together. And so that's why we made the decision not to record. It just seemed kind of just not the thing to do to record a podcast on Sundays. So, and frankly, we're really late Monday night getting this done, and you know, give us time to really kind of continue to process and put our thoughts and our prayers behind the people who need us right now in Orlando very, very much. So we do move on because that is also what we need to do. And it has been a phenomenal season. I'm still kind of numb to the idea that the high school sports season is done, because this one, they get faster every year. Life gets faster as you get older. And for those of you who are in the class of 2016, and maybe you're in Chesterfield and you've already graduated, or maybe you're in Henrico and you're about to in the next few days, or maybe you're in Hanover and you're graduating on Saturday, or maybe you're down in Prince George and you just did it this past Saturday, and you know, you're gonna, if you blink, you're gonna miss it, because my graduation was 31 years ago last week, and I can distinctly still remember as so vividly as if it were yesterday, standing across from, at the time it was called the Mosque, today it's the Altria Theater, used to be called the Landmark Theater as well, and our school graduated there, held our commencement there. The Siegel Center, of course, was a pipe dream at that time, and the Coliseum was just too big, and so we were there, and you'd walk across the street into Monroe Park to celebrate and congratulate and say goodbye, really, to friends that, you know, you were going to one place and they were going to another place, and they were, you know, this friend's going to the workforce, this one's going to the military, this one's going to college here, and with no social media like we have, and the way things were back in 1985, you know, there were people that honestly, just recently, I ran into a classmate of mine at, of all places, a Target, and even though we had talked to each other via social media, we had not physically seen each other in 31 years since that night in Monroe Park. And so those of you who are graduating now, a couple of things. One, take advantage of the fact that you can still be in touch with your friends in your next phase of life. Take those friends that meant something to you in high school with you into the next phase. You're going to meet new friends. You're going to meet lifelong friends in college or your workforce place or the military, wherever you're being led to go, wherever you're going to go here in the fall. But don't forget to take the people who got you to this point with you. And social media is, that's one of its, I think, one of its greatest attributes. There's a lot of negatives to it. And we see a lot of that negative every day when we're on Twitter trying to get our stuff out. We see a lot of stuff that, frankly, I'm not a fan of at all. But one of the great powerful attributes of it is that it can keep you together with people that have put you where you are now and that mean much to you now, and they should mean much to you even if the miles separate you and the years do the same. That's part of life. That happens. There are phases, and you're with people, and then you're with another group of people, and then you're with another group of people, and some people are with you for a season, some are with you, the old saying goes, for a reason, and some of them are there for life. And so make sure you know the ones that are there for life and hold them close and keep them with you. I think about the Atlee softball team because we had just finished, you know, the picture taking and the interviewing with the coach, and he got doused with the bucket of water while the TV stations and I were interviewing him after the game there in Fairfax, and started talking to a couple of the seniors on the Atlee team, and we got to talking about the fact that, you know, I know it hasn't hit you yet because you're still basking in the celebration of a state championship, but this was it. This was all, And one of the seniors started to break down and cry when she was talking to me. She's like, you know, I've played with some of these girls since we were 8 years old. And you're talking, you know, over half of their life together on the softball field. And now suddenly, you know, you get to the apex of your sport in high school. And then you walk off the field and you realize we're not going to do that again. And that's a lot to handle when you're 17 and 18 years old. When you get to those life changes when you're my age, I'll be 49 in 2 weeks. And we still, at our age, struggle with life changes. You know, when your son gets married, or when your daughter heads to college, or your wife has a health scare. And all of those things have happened to me in the last year, my wife, in the last 3 weeks during all the playoff situations. And, you know, just keep the people you love close to you. Keep them close. And I think that's a good message to have here as we kind of parcel ourselves as a nation through what has happened in Orlando. And a lot of you who are listening right now are going through a time of change, graduating from high school, finishing up a year at college. Maybe you're just becoming a senior in high school and it's beginning to finally hit you. Oh my gosh, I've been dreaming about 2017 all my life. It's almost here. And it's going to be gone before I know it. And you're absolutely right. So cherish every day, every single day that you have. Cherish them all. Well, let's talk about what we got to experience and enjoy here during State Championship Week and give some congratulations to teams who won titles and teams who may have fallen short but sure played and acted like champions. And we'll begin with what you heard at the outset of the podcast. A great congratulations to Tom McIntyre and his staff. The first year, you think about this. This isn't easy, folks. Atlee Softball wins the 5A State Championship in 2015. They lose one starter to graduation, so you have to have a new second baseman, but everybody else is scheduled to come back. Now, not quite everybody else did, but almost everybody else did. But you've got that group back, but the coaches that led you to that championship have retired, and you walk into practice, and there's a brand new regime. You know some of them you don't. Coach McIntyre had the advantage of having coached some of the players in travel ball in past years and knew them, of course, because if you don't know, Tom's daughter is Lauren McIntyre, 4-year starter for Lee Davis High School, who graduated last year. And obviously, Lee Davis and Atlee is about as big a rivals as you're going to find, certainly in softball right now. And so there was familiarity, but there was still change. And so you have the question, you know, will we answer to the new coach? Will we connect with him? Will the chemistry be there? Will the bond be there? Do we have the hunger to win it now that we've won it? And all season long, Atlee and Lee Davis held the 1 and 2 spots in our RVA Sports Network Top 10 softball poll. They were, one was two, and nobody else ever took those two positions. And it turned out to be the right move all season long in our voting, because when all was said and done, the last two Richmond teams to be up and running were Atlee and Lee Davis, and for the second year in a row, Hanover County was the epicenter of softball in the state of Virginia, as two of the teams from the county made it to the state tournament and had to play each other in the semifinals. And we were all hoping that somehow, some way, they could be in opposite ends of the bracket, win their semis, and play on Saturday for the state championship. What an ultimate event that would be. But it wasn't meant to be. And we got to Friday at Robinson, and we were very blessed to be able to bring you live coverage of the semifinal as well as the championship. And I want to take a moment right now to thank the Lee Davis Athletic Boosters. They stepped up to the plate when we needed someone to help underwrite the costs of broadcasting the tournament, paying the tournament fees, paying for the production costs, etc. They stepped up immediately last Monday and said, yes, we will be more than happy to do it. And they did it no matter what their team did in the semifinal. And I don't know, a few people may have thought it weird that a game between Atlee and Hickory was being sponsored by the Lee Davis Athletic Boosters, but that's how great they were in supporting our efforts here at the RVA Sports Network. So I want to thank Dave and everybody at the Athletic Boosters for their support of our broadcasts this weekend. And I want you to know, if you're a family or a business and you want to reach the Lee Davis community, you want to reach people in Mechanicsville, a great way to do it, and at the same time support hundreds upon hundreds of student athletes at Lee Davis High School, is through their Athletic Boosters. And they're looking for people to help them out to promote and to help those kids with what they need in the 2016-17 season. So go to LeeDavisAthletics.com, Click on the boosters link and get all the information there, LeeDavisAthletics.com. And again, we cannot thank them enough for helping us bring that tournament coverage to you. What you heard at the outset of the podcast, you heard Rain Wilson's home run on Friday that gave Atlee the 3-0 lead. Casey Barrett's three-run shot with the same runners on at the same bases to make it 6-0 as Atlee went on to beat Lee Davis 7-1 to clinch the return to the tournament final against the team they played last year, Hickory. It was so familiar. Same stadium, same scenario, having to play a county team in the semis. The only difference was we played the game in the daylight, not in the nighttime. And the championship was in the morning instead of at night. Other than that, it turned out to be Atlee has to beat a county rival in order to play Hickory. And then for the second consecutive year, Atlee shuts out Hickory, a very, and I mean a very good team, who had had a battle with Halifax that Friday morning in the first semifinal before our game. 1-0 defensive pitching struggle, fantastic game. We got to see most of it. We got there in the second inning and watched that struggle while we were waiting to set up for our broadcast. So Atlee comes in on Saturday. Hickory gets runners on second and third early in the top of the first and bottom of the first inning. Looks like, you know, they're going to take the lead, and that would have been huge. But Peyton St. George and company, they were able to slow things down, stop, halt it. She got a strikeout to end the inning, and then Casey Barrett comes up, and it was the second home run call of Casey's you heard there at the outset of the podcast, and that changed everything. Just a solo homer. Only made it 1-0, but from that point on, Atlee just completely relaxed. Casey told me after the game, and you'll read about it Thursday in the new edition of the Herald Progress, she said, once I hit that home run, it did change because she said, I was scared. I was frightened at what was happening in the first inning. We got through it. I went back to the bench, and I looked at the girls, and I said, guys, just calm down. We know exactly what we need to do. Now let's go do it. Take a deep breath and let's go. And she led by example. She took a deep breath, led off the second inning with the solo homer off the middle pole of the softball scoreboard in left center field. And from that point on, Hickory looked rattled and Atlee looked in control. Peyton St. George retired 14 consecutive batters, and Atlee put a couple of extra runs on in a fourth inning where Hickory's defense just let them down big time. A couple of plays that were just strange to call. One where Rain Wilson bloops a ball just over second base, and it looks like second baseman's going to catch it. Last second, she pulls out, thinking that the center fielder had come in to make the play, and the center fielder, Moriarty, wasn't there to do it. Ball drops. Wilson never stops running, and Rain slides in head first with a double, and the ball's 10 feet away from her. Strangest double you'll ever see. And then a few plays later, when there's a ground ball by Satterwhite to the shortstop, and the shortstop's trying to determine, do I throw it home or do I just go to first and get the out and allow the run to score? And in the midst of making the decision, she loses control of the ball, I really believe. I don't know if she didn't mean to throw it where she threw it. I think it just kind of came out of her hand, and it goes about 20 feet to the right of home plate up against the backstop. And that allowed a run to score. And at that point, you could just kind of see things falling apart for Hickory. And frankly, I mean, obviously, you know, we want RVA teams to do well. We want the RVA teams to win, obviously, because that's who we cover. But Hickory is a tremendous program. They've now been there, you know, twice. They haven't won a title since 2008, but they only have three seniors this year. And their pitcher, Bree McDowell, who went 19-3 this year, is a sophomore. She's going to be around for two more years. So Hickory back to Robinson next year. It wouldn't surprise me at all. In fact, I kind of expect it to happen. Now, what will happen next year around here is another story. Atlee loses arguably the heart and soul of the team in Rain Wilson, headed to James Madison. They lose Mallory Fadil, who at this point is not going to be playing collegiately. I believe she's going to James Madison to further her education. She might go and play the club team there that's won the World Series two straight years. You've got Taylor Sandiford at third, who talked to me after the game as well. She's headed to Randolph-Macon. Riley Satterwhite, the left fielder, will have to be replaced. So there are several key parts that are going to have to be replaced, but Peyton St. George will still be in the circle. Casey Barrett will still be at shortstop, anchoring the defense. And Jordan Durbin is a rising star there at second, and Kelly Warren, the speedster in center, will be back. So there will be plenty returning. Now, they won't have the two-headed situation at pitcher where, if, you know, Peyton's having a tough time, Laura Kate Moss can come in and fool you with the off-speed stuff because she'll be headed to CNU. But Atlee certainly will reload. But the team I'm really looking forward to watching again next year is Lee Davis. I know they lose their battery, and that's rough. Kylie Stonebreaker, who it's been an honor to cover her, and Brooke Martin at catcher. You got to replace your battery. That's very difficult to do. But if you can find the catcher who can command the pitcher and can command the defense, everybody else is coming back. Everybody. And half of them will be juniors and half will be seniors. So it won't be like they have like 9-10 seniors that they're going to lose the whole team after next year. I think Lee Davis was a bit awestruck by being at the state tournament level. It was their first appearance there since winning it all 5 years ago, and none of the players on the roster were there then, obviously. And I think it just kind of got to them, and that first home run from Wilson rattled them, and they weren't able to fully recover from it after that. It's not that they didn't try. They had a runner at third in the fifth. They had a runner at third at the fourth. They did get a run in later. But, you know, if it's still 3-1 and you cut it to 3-0 and you cut it to 3-1 maybe in the bottom of the fourth inning, then maybe things are a little different. And maybe that second three-run homer isn't as powerful as it was. When Casey hit that one, it made it 6-0, and things seemed to kind of melt at that point. Lee Davis never quit. Please note that. Never, ever quit. That was a phenomenal team that played for Lee Davis this season, led by head coach Jackie Davis. And they went 23-2, and the only two losses were April 29th at home to Atlee 3-2, and June 10th in the state semis again to Atlee. So when you go 23-2 and your only two losses are to the state champions, you've had a great year. I know it's a disappointing end, but my hat's off to Lee Davis. And again, the Hanover County softball total, holy cow. Atlee 23-2, two-time state champs. Lee Davis 23-2. Patrick Henry, very, very young, only one senior, lots of freshmen playing. They get into the region tournament, win a game. They're going to be back and back strong next year, and in 2018, they're going to be scary good. And Hanover's going to lose a lot to graduation, and I know they had a very disappointing end this year in the Conference 20 semifinals, but you never count the Hawks out. They won the state title 10 years ago. And they'll have plenty of returning players and plenty of new firepower, too. So it's been fun covering, again, one of the best places to watch softball in the world at the high school level. I really believe that. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a county, a suburban county like Hanover, in any other place in the country where you've got four programs that are always constantly at very high levels and some at elite levels. We have now gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 5 out of the last 6 years, Hanover County has had one team in the state tournament. The last 2 years, they've had two teams in the state tournament. You think about that. If you've got a county that's got 11 or 12 high schools, then that's one thing if you get two at a state tournament. And there have been that cases, mostly like Northern Virginia teams. But, you know, Hanover County's only got four schools. Very impressive. And the play in softball here in the Richmond area. Clover Hill, despite their very disappointing ending in Conference 3, had a phenomenal season. They'll be back. Cosby, with their run, they're going to have to get somebody in the circle because they lose Maddie. But they'll be back. It was a pleasure to watch them in the 6A state semis last Friday as well. So, all right, want to get on to other sports as well. But just, again, thank you for being with us for our coverage of the softball tournament. Had a great time, and it was a great way to wrap up our live broadcast coverage this season on the RVA Sports Network. In baseball, holy cow. Okay, so I made the 4-mile, 15-minute-long trip because it takes 15 minutes to go 4 miles in Fairfax County, Virginia, and made it to Lake Braddock Secondary School just in time for Atlee Lacrosse's state championship. And I get into the booth, and it took a while to find a place to squeeze in and get my computer back up and running, but we did. And then we proceeded to watch what looked to be the meltdown of Hanover baseball, up 7-1 going into the sixth inning and seemingly cruising to the state championship. All of a sudden, Liberty Christian Academy goes off on three, arguably, of the four best pitchers that Hanover has. And they chase Hayden Moore, they chase John Gregory, and they rough up Jack Trackham. And it's 9-7. They scored 8 runs, the gentleman, the senior from Hanover that was feeding me information there from Lynchburg, he was in shock. I was in shock. I'm like, I can't believe this. And then, you know, Hanover promptly returns the favor and scores 6 in their half of the inning. I think Daniel, Hefner, I believe his name is, that works at NBC 12's cameraman and was down there to the game, and he was feeding information on Twitter. I think he said the sixth inning lasted 1 hour and 14 minutes. It's like, good Lord. And before it was all said and done, there had been 14 runs scored, and it was 13-9. So here come the Bulldogs in the top of the seventh, and they score three more. And Tyler Morgan, senior, not talked about a lot in the pitching staff at Hanover, there in the seventh to close it down, loses most of his lead, but when he needed it the most, he gets the strikeout, and Hanover wins a classically wild 4A state championship, 13-12. And the dog pile ensued for the third time in 4 years. And you think about this. The seniors from this year's graduating class at Hanover High in baseball have been to the state tournament all 4 years. They've won three state championships. The only time they fell short was last year during that magical run for Glen Allen, when Glen Allen beat them in the regional final and Hanover lost in the state semifinal, and not being able to get that last shot at Glen Allen before they moved on to 5A. But for Hanover baseball and for Charlie Dragham and for the seniors, Kamen Richardson, Gray Little, talked about Gregory, we talked about Moore, and they're all headed to different colleges. Gray's going to High Point, Hayden to VCU, Kamen's going to UVA, et cetera, et cetera. Just the record that graduating class has put up. Hanover, when they were freshmen, won their first ever state championship, and that was a major, incredible accomplishment. They were freshmen. Now they're seniors, and they're leaving Saturday with commencement at the Siegel Center, and they're leaving a program behind that now expects to win the state championship every year. Let me repeat that. They started there with a program that was trying to get their first ever state title, and 4 years later, they leave a program that now expects to win it every single year. Now, it's going to be tough for Hanover to repeat in 2017 because they're losing a ton in this class, but if there's any team in this area who can do it, it is Hanover, and they've got some great returners coming too, so there is certainly a basis there. And we wondered in 2013 if they could come back and do it again, and they did. So never count out Hanover, and congratulations to the Hawks for another state championship. Another team to congratulate, Mills Godwin Girls Soccer. I got a chance to watch the second half of the state championship game against Tuscarora. I got over there to the football stadium after finishing up our coverage with Atlee Softball. Got there just before halftime, and I was there to watch Paige Franks hit not one but two penalty kicks in about a 4.5 minute stretch that turned a 2-1 deficit into a 3-2 lead. Now, Tuscarora came back, scored a few minutes later, and then the rest of the second half was just a struggle. Neither team was able to break through. We went to overtime at 3-3, and who gets loose and is able to elude the final defender and get one into the goal behind the goalkeeper in overtime? Yep, Paige Franks. A lot of talk about Taylor Guy over the year, and should be. She's a phenomenal player. She led Mills Godwin, no doubt about that. But Paige Franks has been there every step of the way, too, and so many others on that team. But boy, what a place to step up and shine and get a hat trick, the state championship. And you can tell it's so special when the players win the first state championship for their school. And it's funny, Mills Godwin opened 1979, 1980. So the school's been around now. I remember when it opened. I remember when Mills Godwin was the new school. And now it's, you know, 35-plus years old. And after all those years, you think about all the girls who have played soccer over three decades at that place. And this team, they really seem to understand the weight of the importance of being able to be the team that broke through and finally captured that state crown. So congratulations to the Mills Godwin Eagles on just a phenomenal weekend and such a great, gritty performance against a very tough Tuscarora team. It was not easy. And then add to the elements, they're playing on synthetic turf, both at Robinson and at Lake Braddock. And frankly, I think some of the, if I were an athletic director, and I'm just going to play a little what-if game here, and I can say this publicly because this is not me trying to criticize anybody. I'm just offering this as a suggestion. If I'm an athletic director and I think my soccer team has a real chance to make it to the state tournament, I find a way to play either a regular season game, and I'd be willing to give up a home game, but I would find a way to play either a regular season game or maybe a game in your conference tournament or region tournament up at Randolph-Macon on Day Field if you could, or another location in the area that has a synthetic turf surface, so that when your team got to the state tournament, if it was the first time they played on that surface rather than natural grass, the difference, and those of you listening who play lacrosse, football, soccer, etc., you know what I'm talking about. There's just a different feel to it. Field hockey really knows what I'm talking about. It takes a little while to get used to it, sometimes longer than others, depending upon which sport we're talking about. But I was thinking about that on Saturday, sitting up there at Robinson watching Mills Godwin going, man, you know what? If I were an AD and I had a team that I thought could make the state tournament, I'd try to find a way to get them to play once on turf before they got to the states, because I wouldn't want the state semis to be the first time they did, and then they'd spend half the game getting used to the surface while maybe the other team from Tidewater, who play at Virginia Beach Sports Complex, or up in Northern Virginia, where many schools have synthetic turfs at their school, may have an advantage because they're used to it and it's not their first time for that particular team. So just a thought. But I just really love the grit and the character that the Mills Godwin girls showed in that condition and with the heat on Saturday. Friday was a good day up in Fairfax. It felt nice. I'm sure it felt the same in the mountains in Lynchburg. Saturday was a totally different story. It was like God turned the furnace on, and it was just nasty. And when I got home Saturday night, I told my wife, I said, I lost count how many bottles of water I drank. I said, I think I had 5 because I was just constantly hydrating for fear that I would dehydrate, because it was the first really, really hot day of the summer. And for those of you who are young and who are listening to me right now, it's important that you stay hydrated. For those of us who are a couple of years older than you and maybe have had something like a heart condition, it's really important that we hydrate. So I think I lost count, but I think I had 5. But Mills Godwin had to go through all of that. And I know you're sitting there going, well, so did their opponent. Absolutely. And it was a match for the ages. But I was just very impressed by the character of Mills Godwin girls soccer. Congratulations on the state championship. Now, for those of you who have in the last few years been completely critical of the new format, the Virginia High School League started in 2013 that allowed 6 state championships in sports like baseball instead of what used to be 3, may I present to you the Maggie Walker Governor School Dragons, who nobody was talking about when it came to high school baseball as late as 3 weeks ago when we were starting the postseason. They never made our top 10, but they spent their regular season playing a Colonial District schedule, meaning that there are 2A school constantly playing teams like Mills Godwin, who made the state tournament, Douglas Freeman, who was in the state tournament 2 straight years, Glenn Allen, the defending 4A state champions. They're playing home-and-home series with these teams. So nobody was talking about Maggie Walker for a reason. And then they get into their realm against teams from schools that are similar to them, and look what happens. They get on the run, they get the region championship, they get a rematch with Goochland for the state title, and they win it, and for the first time ever, Maggie Walker Baseball can call themselves state champions. And that's one of the big positives about the new format, that I have no problem expanding sports like baseball and softball and whatnot from 3 champions to 6. Because it gives more student athletes more opportunities to have more fantastic experiences. And for those of you who are sitting there going, oh yeah, and you probably believe in a trophy for everybody. No, I don't. I can't stand participation trophies. I'll say that publicly. And if I get some flack on it, that's fine. I have no problem if you're in Little League and T-ball at 6 and you get a trophy at the end of the year because you had a good season. Got no problem with that. That's fine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about at the high school level. We've got 314 schools, I think is the number, in the Virginia High School League. For us to crown 6 state champions rather than just 3 is not a crime at all. And it allowed a magical run such as Maggie Walker. Because how in the world would they compete? In the old days, they'd have to go through the Colonial District Tournament and the Central Region Tournament. And again, have to play those same big schools that they played all regular season long. So I am so thrilled for the Dragons of Maggie Walker, and I congratulate them, and heads up and hats off to the Goochland Bulldogs for an incredible run. They just came up against a team that had their number. And I know I saw a lot of players from Goochland on Twitter Saturday evening just talking about their love for the team and their love for the school, and that really did my heart good. I saw a lot of class and a lot of dignity from the Bulldogs of Goochland. And so shout out to them and congratulations to them as well. Atlee Boys Lacrosse, we were there to watch it happen. They had opportunities in overtime. They got the ball. They had a penalty, so there was a man advantage. And they had three shots at the sudden death overtime goal that would have clinched that state championship. And one went wide, one got blocked, one was saved, and Briarwoods got an opportunity, and they took advantage of it, and they won 9-8. And it was a tough pill to swallow for the Atlee Lacrosse team that lost by one last year in the state championship. But let me put this in perspective. 10 years ago, there was no lacrosse in Hanover County except for one burgeoning club that had nothing to do with high schools. And then over the next 5 to 6 years, the push began to get club lacrosse at high schools. And by 2011, that was happening. We are now in 2016. So that means in less than a decade, we've gone from no presence at a school whatsoever to a program that has been to the state championship 2 years in a row. And I know Atlee loses a lot to graduation, but they will again be a force to be reckoned with next year. James River, the same with them. They went 9-8 2 years ago. They went 9-7 in 2015. They made the regionals but lost early. This year, they lose their opener to Atlee, and then they win 16 in a row, and they make it to the state championship. Now, they ran into a team Saturday in Robinson that just frankly was a better team. Robinson completely dominated draw control. And I think here's the takeaway for James River from that game. I know it's no fun to lose 14-2, especially on the game's biggest stage. But the takeaways are this for the Rapids. Number one, they made it to the biggest stage. They're there. Number two, they've now experienced it, and they realize now what it takes to get to the apex. So they know things that they have to work on. They got to get better at draw control. They got to get better in dominating more time of possession offensively and not be on their heels most of the match. And so this experience will further benefit James River Lacrosse and by extension other Richmond teams as the years go by. And we'll have state champions in lacrosse. There is no doubt in my mind about that. And I want to tell you that Atlee and James River both represented the RVA extremely well on Saturday at Lake Braddock Secondary School. Other things that happened, and I know I'm gonna forget something here because I'm working without notes. And please, if I forget to mention your team, it's not because I don't care at all. There's just so much stuff to try to remember here, and I frankly did not do a good job at putting notes down to make sure I got to every point that I wanted to get to. Deep Run Girls Tennis, are you kidding me? Freshman Layden winning the state championship. Can you say dynasty being born? But you know, nothing's assured. And I can guarantee you, if you go talk to any of the Wildcats, they will tell you, all right, we got this one. This is fantastic. This is phenomenal. And we want to get three more. But you know what? We're going to have to work, scrap, and claw for every point, every serve, every volley, every return. And they will. Nothing will be handed to them. I can tell you that first because Mills Godwin's going to come after them. The long reign of Mills Godwin, girls tennis. Wow, what an incredible accomplishment that has been. So girls tennis in Henrico is going to be crazy for the next few years. Midlothian getting the girls tennis 4A championship again. Congratulations to the Trojans. They had to beat the Hanover Hawks to do it, so our hats off to Hanover for a fine season. They only lost three matches, and all three were to Midlothian. So again, kind of like Lee Davis softball, when your only losses are to the eventual state champion, you've had a good year. You've had a really good year. Over on the boys' side, shout out to Cosby. Shout out to Deep Run, who played their hearts out against a powerhouse in Thomas Jefferson Alexandria. And shout out to Midlothian. John Hanley of Winchester is a powerhouse as well. Still, fantastic seasons there. We had so many, and so many great performances this past week in state tournament action, both in the semis and in the championship. And what we'll do in our final podcast next week, we're going to do one wrap-up podcast to kind of just look back at the entire 2015-16 year and kind of reminisce about some of our memories and some of the people and personalities and events and games that we've covered, we've broadcast, and just kind of take one more stroll down memory lane, and maybe, hopefully, I'll find some time to be able to get together a montage of some of the things that you heard live on the RVA Sports Network from football season all the way here to this past Saturday. up in Fairfax. There's one thing I do want to cover briefly before we wrap this podcast up, and that is an announcement that we made a little over a week ago. And in case you missed it, I just want to do a brief explanation about it. One of the things that we are most proud of here at the RVA Sports Network is the fact that we are so diversified in how we bring you sports coverage. Yes, we're on Twitter constantly. Yes, we're on Facebook. And yes, we're on Instagram. And yes, we have websites. And all of those serve their purposes, major purposes, as to what we do. But there are two arms that the RVA Sports Network has that nobody else does. And you're listening to one of them. We are the longest running podcast that covers high school sports in Central Virginia. There's been some others who have briefly tried, but we are blessed with the fact that you have responded so well to our podcast that we feel like it's worth our time and investment to do it. It costs us money to produce the podcast every year, and we feel like it's a worthy investment because of the response that we get from you, our listeners, and we are so grateful for you downloading, streaming, listening to this as you're going about your day or listening on the weekend or whatever the case may be. We cannot thank you enough. And the other area is broadcasting. We are the only broadcaster in the Richmond area dedicated to covering live high school sports, not just football, but all year long. Football, the other fall sports that are broadcastable, basketball in the winter, baseball, softball, soccer, lacrosse in the spring. And so we recently were able to secure a major expansion of our technology, our ability to bring you more podcasts and broadcasts. And because we have that technological capacity now, we are able to say, and we announced on our website a week or so ago, that our plans are to effectively close to double the number of broadcasts live of high school sports that we will bring you in 2016-17. Our intention is to have two games of the week every week. Most of the time it will be a Tuesday night and then a Friday night, because of course Friday night in the fall means football, Friday night in the winter means basketball, Friday night in the spring means, well, baseball, softball, or soccer, and sometimes even lacrosse. Tuesday nights, a lot of volleyball in the fall. There's field hockey that we do. There's, on Tuesday nights in the winter, a lot of basketball that goes on. And in the spring, the regular spring sports, a lot of them play Tuesday. And there'll be weeks where we may do it on a Monday night or a Wednesday night, depending upon the matchups and stuff like that. But we're hoping to bring you upwards of 75 live broadcasts next year, up from about, I think we counted it, 42 that we had this year. We're very proud of that. But part of the limitation that we had was our limitations in technology as to, you know, how much data we could stream and things like that. Well, we've been able to expand that greatly, and so we'll be able to expand our coverage. And what we're really excited about is the fact that it offers us to cover more sports, more teams, more schools, get to more places, and more exposure for everybody. And for us, we think that's a win-win for the sports, for the high schools, and frankly, for us as well. So we will be starting to work on our 2016-17 master schedule probably in a few weeks. I want to give the activities directors at the school some time to kind of breathe and rest and relax. In Chesterfield, they've got graduation behind them. In Henrico, it's happening this week. In Hanover, it's happening Saturday. In some of the surrounding areas, it's happening this week or it's already happened. City of Richmond is getting going. And after that, I know some of the ADs are just frankly worn out and they need some time off. And I have a vacation set early July. But then after that, we're going to get really bearing down onto where we want to be and where we're going to broadcast. And once we start getting those lined up and ready, we'll start announcing them on Twitter. We'll start posting our broadcast schedule at rvasportsnetwork.com and our family of websites. And our family of websites will continue in 2016-17. We believe in local coverage, hyper-local coverage. That's how we do it on Twitter, and that's how we'll continue to do it on our websites as well. HanoverCountySports.net, ChesterfieldCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, and our main website, RVASportsNetwork.com. We've re-upped all of them for another year, so nothing's going to change there. But we'll start announcing where we're going to be. We'll start doing a countdown on Twitter, and we'll start promoting especially the high school footballs on Friday night because people are so excited about that. And again, we'll be doing our coverage with WHAN Radio in Ashland. It'll be our 15th season of, I can't believe that, 15th season of high school football on the radio. And so we'll have a lot of great announcements to be making starting later on in July. But, you know, it's because you listen, it's because you download, it's because you follow us on Twitter, it's because you follow us on Facebook, it's because you go to our websites for things like Tournament Central and schedule changes and all-region teams. It's those are the reasons why we exist and we continue. And for that, we can't say anything but thank you. We appreciate that very much. So we want to make sure that we talked about that briefly. We're very excited about our big expansion. More broadcasts next year, thanks to more technology available. We'll have the opportunity to see more sports, more schools, and bring it all to you live exclusively on the RVA Sports Network. All right, friends, it's 11 o'clock on Monday night, and I'm in my studio, which kind of doubles in, I got to remember, we've talked about this on the podcast many times. We are a family-owned and operated business, which means we operate where the family lives. And there comes a point, and, you know, my pseudo studio, which, you know, is just off of the bedroom, it means I got to shut up so my wife can go to bed. And so with that, we bring to a close the, I guess you would call it the penultimate edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network, because we're going to come back one more time next weekend and just kind of review the 2015-16 year, maybe pull some of the highlights from our broadcasts and just kind of take a good old walk down memory lane and think about some of the great things and relive some of the great moments in high school sports in the last 10 months. Central Region Now is an exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network and solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any rebroadcast or other use of the podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC. And I'll warn you, that's my wife, is strictly prohibited. Shout-outs to Mark Davis and Matt Estridge and the team at NBC 12. We're completing our third year of our partnership with them, and they are absolutely the best. And we thank them so much and look forward to working with them again as we get set for another school year and another year of football with them coming up in August. All right, friends, Rob Witham saying thanks so much for being with us. If you're graduating this week, congratulations. Savor every moment. We'll talk to you again next week here on Central Region Now.